All right, everybody. Welcome to another episode of Dep Heads and Hiddlestoners.
You say that like it's a question.
I know. Well, I was like, I'm so out of practice in terms of like introducing the show that
Well,
I'm like,
this is the first time you've done that.
yeah, I'm like, hell, is it Dep Stoners and Hiddleheads? I don't know.
Yeah, so little heads, where are you smoking?
Yeah, I know. So
Oh my God.
we are gathered here tonight to discuss the second episode of Loki.
The series.
Yes.
Yep, Loki the series on Disney Plus. Came out, well, see, the final episode was in June, so it came out what, May?
I don't know.
Right? Came out in May.
Yeah.
I didn't look it up. I don't have my notes in front of me, guys, so you're just gonna have to forgive me.
Having rewatched the episode, last week, I think this is actually my favorite episode of the series.
Nice. Before we get into the episode, though, for my Dep heads out there, yeah, saw some of the trial, been watching it, kind of trying to keep track. Our boy Johnny might have messed up, but let's hope not. His testimony continues tomorrow. See, they talked about everything from his fame with the Pirates franchise to when he first met the ex. And yes, I'm still trying to avoid saying her name. And various other things today. One of the things that I was really appreciative of, and I think anybody who has a family and has kids would understand, one of the reasons he says that he is pursuing this court case as hard and as steadfastly as he is not only to it's not only to prove his innocence, but it's for the sake of his children. Because of the infamous People magazine cover, which later was determined that the bruise on Amber Heard's face was fake. But yeah, all of that, his kids had to deal with that going to school. They had to deal with the parents of their friends, trying to find out what's going on. They had to deal with a bunch of crap that no kid ought to have to deal with. So yeah, he says that he's pursuing this, for his kids. And I really appreciate that fact. I really like that he is approaching this thing in that way. He said if it wasn't for the kids, he'd have dropped this a long time ago.
I was a little shocked that he's on the stand. Did he testify in the UK trial?
I do not know.
Because I don't know why. I
Do
just
not
was
know.
not
I will put
expecting
that
him.
on my list of things to find out.
Yeah, I just wasn't expecting him to take the stand, especially so soon. I mean,
Yeah, it's very quick. I mean, they're looking at they're saying 6 weeks for this
yeah.
trial. And it's what,
Just the second
day
week.
six, day seven, day
Yeah,
six,
day
I
six,
think.
really. Yeah.
And he's already on the stand. He will be continuing testifying tomorrow. Cross-examination may start as early as tomorrow afternoon. It may not start until Thursday morning. By the way, we are actually recording this on Tuesday,
Yes,
so
yes, yeah.
don't we usually record on Wednesday, so.
So yeah, and I haven't seen any of the footage of him testifying. I've just read articles.
I actually caught a little bit of it this afternoon.
Okay.
Yeah, after Barry, after you and I talked the first time,
Right.
I flipped over and caught quite a bit of it. Caught the highlights, the court reporters talking about it and that kind of thing. So.
I have watched a little bit of it on Court TV, and having gone completely streaming several years ago, the number one thing I can say is that Court TV has very good coverage of it, but it feels like every 35 seconds there's 5 minutes of commercials,
Yes,
and they're
it is horrible.
the same commercials over and over again, and
Well, yeah.
I don't know if it's just that I have gotten so used to not having commercials. Or
Yeah,
if
or
they,
being able to flip through them.
yeah, or if they really do just have an enormous amount of commercials.
They may just have an enormous amount of commercials, especially for this trial.
Right.
God, imagine what the run, the cost of the commercials to have a spot in the Johnny Depp trial. It's gotta be huge.
Yeah, I started to send you a picture the other day, but I thought it would just depress you.
Oh God, what was the picture?
So somebody in one of the Johnny Depp groups that I, come across my feed every now and then, had posted that she met Johnny outside the court house, and it was a young lady. She's about, I don't know, she looks 16 or so. Anyway, and she he posed for a picture with her.
Right.
Yeah, and I was thinking, I started to send it to you, and then I was thinking,
I considered hitchhiking to Virginia,
yeah.
but unfortunately, it's not as safe as it used to be. So,
But Virginia is for lovers. How much safer could you get?
I will ask again. What are you smoking?
That's their state logo, the state slogan. Virginia is for lovers.
Whatever.
Yeah.
Yeah.
It's not West
Maybe
Virginia.
that's why they're having the trial there.
Yeah. Yeah. That could be, yeah.
Lovers, ex-lovers,
Yeah.
friends with benefits, I guess, whatever.
I did see a hilarious meme, and I don't know if the pictures are both from this trial or not, but there was a quote of Amber Heard saying, basically John saying to Johnny on a recording that, he has no fashion sense and no sense of style.
All
And
right, did you see how the man has been dressed?
then they showed him at the trial in this particular suit, and then they showed a
The
picture of
black suit with
her.
the white tie?
Well, no, this he was in like a brown thing. And they showed her though, and she's in the exact same suit. The exact same suit,
That's great.
So, yeah.
But yeah, so anyway, as per usual, we love you, Johnny. We believe you. We are behind you 100%. No matter what happens, we hope that you get the outcome that we're all, that we're all praying for, that we're all hoping for. We know that you were not the aggressor in this relationship. And hopefully by the end of this trial, everybody else will know that too. Justice for Johnny Depp.
Definitely.
All right, now on to the main body of our podcast here. And we are doing episode two of season one of Loki, the series on very excellent, excellent series. Hopefully they'll get around to shooting season two sometime soon.
Yeah, at some point it'd be nice. Yeah.
They're now projecting 2023. So
Jeez. Okay. All right.
if they continue to put it off, it's never going to happen because Hiddleston is going to be just not in Loki shape anymore.
Yeah.
Oh, and on that note, it's not been officially stated, but it looks, my friends, like Tom Hiddleston is engaged.
Really? I had not heard that.
Yes. Look up on you if you look up on YouTube, Hiddleston engagement. It's basically it's pointing out the fact that Zawe, is
Yeah,
her name,
I think so.
is now not ever seen without a big brilliant rock on the third finger of her left hand.
Oh.
So, and I mean, he said before, she could very definitely be the love of his life. So, it's entirely possible. And if it's true, congratulations, guys. And Tom, why couldn't you wait for me? Come on, man. Anyway.
Yeah.
But hey, at least Johnny's single now.
That's true. That's true. Of course, at this point, I imagine he may be, scared off of women in general. I don't know.
Probably scared off of relationships in general. Just not women, just relationships, period.
Yeah.
Okay, so Loki, episode two. This is the first time we actually see Sylvie.
Yes.
This is the first time we
Although,
meet her.
do they show her face in this one? Because I know at the beginning when they do the I need a hero.
Yes, they do, because they end at the end of
Ah.
this one is when they get to the train, I believe.
Okay, all right. Yeah, I know at the beginning she has the hood up and
Right,
you don't
right,
even
right.
know that it's a woman. So.
But yeah, it's not till toward the end of it that you actually see who she is. All 5'2", pretty blonde inch of her.
Yeah. We
You
have
know,
talked about it before. I
we
am
discussed
surprised.
before how we both wish she was
Yeah.
a little more Loki-like.
Right. Because I do like her, but I'm surprised she doesn't have dark hair. I'm surprised she isn't
Well,
maybe a little taller.
and her when she flashes back and relives her childhood when they came to take her
Right.
with from the TVA, she does have dark hair.
Okay.
The child that plays her has dark hair, so yes. That is theirs. So Miss Clairol does wonderful things. But yeah, she does have the dark hair in the memory, so.
So
But
there.
yeah, she's just her attitude, her demeanor is a lot less what we've come to see as Loki-like.
Right. Yeah.
But
There are several things in this one. We've talked, I think, before a little bit, that I think they wasted, the song I Need a Hero
yes.
at the beginning, because it has that great opening, and when it starts playing, I'm like, oh, all right. But it
Right.
kills
And
me
then
that,
it touches. No.
well, and
It
it
was
kills
awful.
me that, Tom's not even in that scene.
Right.
And, Loki, or Sylvie is not exactly being heroic in that
Right.
scene. She's, taking over people's minds and having them kill each other. And
However.
it just seems like that scene, that song, man, you could use that for something awesome.
Well, anybody who has not seen it, once again, go to YouTube. It's also been shown on TikTok. There is some, I'm not sure who the artist is, but someone put together a much, much better Loki video with that song.
Right.
So, yeah, y'all go check that out. You can find it on YouTube. You can also find it on TikTok. I believe if you search YouTube, search Loki and Hold Out for a Hero.
Yeah. Yeah, because
So,
you
yeah,
filmed that
somebody
one
put
to me, and
together
it's.
an amazing collaboration of different scenes, different cuts from, and it's not just from the series, though, it's from various of the Thor movies, the Avengers movies, the just all the different things that you've seen Loki in. And I mean, it is brilliant. It is absolutely gorgeous, and it is much, much more appropriate, I guess, than what they showed on the series.
Yeah, definitely. I love too that at the beginning here, when they first announced the series, I assumed that it was going to be kind of like Doctor Who, only with Loki. And yeah, and you get to see, I think, a little bit of that in this one. And I think that they totally get away from it as the series goes on. But, I loved, the opening where our Loki, I guess Tom Loki, is reading over the manuals, and the little clock face person is
Yeah,
there.
Miss Manor, it's not Miss Manners, Miss Minutes.
That's it, Miss Minutes. And he's like, he tries to swat Miss Minutes with his newspaper and stuff.
And she's like, "Oh,
Yeah, that was cute. And I love the whole chemistry between Mobius and Loki in this one.
yes.
You could tell that they have a real rapport, the actors, and that chemistry, I think, is very, very strong.
And this, and it just it keeps getting better throughout the series. When Loki finally acknowledges the fact that he appreciates Mobius as a friend, that is something, because Loki doesn't have friends.
Right.
Loki doesn't need friends. Loki, for the most part, doesn't want friends. But then he actually acknowledges the fact that that he does consider Mobius a friend, and I believe that's in episode 5, I'm thinking.
I think
I
so.
think it's episode 5. But yeah. that is really, that's very cool. And of course, the whole, the way Loki's attitude changes from the first episode to the last is immense too. One thing I did not like about this particular episode is, okay, Loki is usually very, he is methodical and he is manipulative and all of that, but the way they bring him around in this episode seems almost childish. When he's trying to convince the members of the TVA not to leave the tent because there's a Loki out there, and if they leave the tent, they will die, and all this, and then he goes on and on and on, and it was way overdone, I guess. It didn't feel right. It didn't feel like our Loki.
Well, that is one complaint I have about the entire series. Is that Loki seems almost like at times he seems like a fool, and at other times he's just not as
Menacing.
successful as I would like him to be. And look, I get that even in the other movies he ultimately fails in all of them, but it just I don't know. He's
No, he does not.
well, he does.
Dark World, he does not fail.
All right.
Dark World, he actually pulls it off.
Okay. But most of the time, his ultimate plans fail, and they have to because he's a villain. You can't have him take over the world, you
He's
know.
an anti-hero. He's not a villain.
Okay. I would argue in the Avengers, he is a villain. I know
Actually, he is not.
that you scoured the internet to find things to back up your
He is mind
belief.
controlled. It is not his fault.
Okay. Loki starts off as a villain. I would argue that they have a redemption arc for him, but it's not a redemption arc if he starts off already halfway redeemed. So you have to accept that he's a bad guy, at least initially. So,
No comment.
but my point is I just think that too often he just comes off as like a goof in the series,
Exactly, yeah.
you know.
Yeah. And you see that quite often in the series.
Yeah.
And there were some comments made by the writers and producers, various members of the cast, that was almost kind of the point. This is not the Loki that you see in Dark World. This is not the Loki that was in Ragnarok. This is, this Loki hadn't gotten there yet.
Yeah,
He's
this is Loki's
he
straight
hasn't
out of
reached
Avengers. Yeah.
that level of growth yet, and that's why he behaves differently, because he is different. So that was a lot of the explanation for because time-wise, yes, I know you see it in what Endgame is when he disappears, but this is actually
Yes.
timeline-wise immediately after the
Avengers.
Avengers movie.
Right.
So anything that happened after the Avengers movie,
But even in Avengers, he just seems more capable than he does on the show. You know.
but th I think he's also kind of playing it off.
Right.
You came to him,
Well.
basically. Movies came to him.
Yeah.
As a matter of fact, I have somebody here who is a definite series fan, if he'll join us for just a moment.
Oh,
Will you?
sure.
Cool. Okay. You said the Loki in the series
So are you,
is,
so are,
that's like your favorite Loki, right?
yeah, definitely.
Okay.
All right, so
No.
introduce who our guest is.
Oh, I'm so sorry. Hey guys, we've got Carrie back with us. He's been on here with us once before. It's been quite a while ago, but
Well, I love the MCU, but I'm definitely a huge Loki series fan. It
excellent.
is probably, besides the Iron Man movie, the first one of my favorite MCU entry.
Excellent. I don't know if you could hear us. Okay. We were discussing how the Loki in the series tends to come off as a bit more of a goof, of an oddball, than he does in the movies.
Okay.
And part of that is because it is a different Loki, because he has not you know, gone through everything that, you know, that the Loki you see in the movies has. That was my point. But, you know, what are your thoughts on the, on just his actions and the way he's just kind of a little over the top a bit more often than not?
You know, I don't know if he's over the top so much as he's, you know, this is his series, so they make him a more sympathetic character. You know, you don't want him to be a total bastard, but I thought it made a lot of sense. You know, this is a more conscientious, whenever we see Loki often in Marvel movies, he's kind of a function of the story, and you have to have kind of a bastard or a lovable bastard. Here, this is Loki basically being a man, though he's a demigod, that's kind of pressed into service. He's actively questioning his worldview.
Now, I hadn't thought about that. That is a damn good point.
Yeah, he's a more introspective. He, you know, he takes the time to examine his actions, and I think it is in fact because they make him kind of sit down and work. You know, this is a Loki that's kind of taking his time, whereas the Loki in the MCU is just playing off impulse off the cuff.
Mm-hmm.
Another good point.
Yeah.
So, you know, given the circumstances that Loki's given here, he's forced to kind of be himself instead of a function of story.
Got it.
And yeah, he's actually kind of a likable guy. I think that he's very comparable to John Constantine, Hellblazer in the DC universe.
Okay.
Yeah.
Awesome.
Maybe more sympathetic, that being said. John Constantine's a true white bastard.
This is true.
Yeah.
This is true. But yeah, so how does that strike you as about accurate there?
Yeah, I mean, I think those are good points. Yeah, definitely.
Excellent. Yeah, because
Sylvie helped him develop as long as, or as well as, you know, Owen Wilson was a major, major factor, fantastic talent for this.
Yeah, we were discussing Mobius as well.
Yeah, and I think Mobius, you know, kind of helped his character development, you know, along.
Yeah, definitely. But yeah, we also brought up the point that we were kind of hoping that Sylvie would have been just a little more Loki-like.
Visually, especially.
Visually, essentially. Because, you know, but yeah, you know, she did have dark hair as a child. You see that in...
Well, they're tricksters, you know. They don't have to look alike.
True. But yeah.
Yeah, I wouldn't want to look like another, you know.
But at the same time, Sylvie actually acts more like classic Loki.
Yeah.
Then Loki.
That being said, it's not her story. You know, just like Loki and all of these other instances that you see him in the MCU, it's not his story.
Right. Got it. That is, again, another good point. But yeah, there's...
She's a great actress, by the way.
She is. She's fantastic. I cannot call her name right off the top of my head. And like I said, guys, I'm sorry. I don't have my notes with me. I am on vacation and my notes are not.
Yeah, your notes are...
Yeah, my notes are not something we're going to discuss on this podcast. That's for damn sure. But woman who plays Sylvie is complete. She's just amazing. And her and Tom have such a chemistry between them.
Okay,
it is absolutely amazing. Thank you so much, Carrie. I know you got your game going on, but I appreciate your input.
Did not expect to before the wall here.
No worries. All right. Okay. So that's another view into the Loki series.
Yeah.
Now, this episode ends either just before or right when Loki and Sylvie get on the train.
Yes. And I know you really like your favorite episode is probably the next one,
Yes,
since you like
my
the
favorite
train.
episode is episode 3. Absolutely.
Right.
The name of this song, and I know this is for when we do episode 3, but we can touch on it now. Believe it or not, the song that he sings, and while he's basically drinking with his buddies on the train, is called, in English translation, it's called Very Full. That's what the song is called.
Okay.
He sings the entire thing. That is him singing. It is done 90% of it in Norwegian.
Wow.
And
so is that one of the languages he speaks, or did he just learn it for the song?
That is not on his list of languages.
Okay.
Greek, not Greek, Spanish, English, French, Italian, and I missed one. I missed one. Italian, French, Spanish, English. Damn it, man.
German, maybe?
German, yes. Those are the ones he's fluent in, and he can speak enough to communicate in Mandarin Chinese, Mandarin Chinese, I think Greek is on that list as well. Mm-hmm. He does English Sign Language. What else? Anyway, the list is 11 names long.
Wow.
Of the languages that he speaks. So, but I do not think Norwegian is on. I do not think he is a speaker of the Norse tongue. So,
I'm sure he just probably learned how to enunciate the words he needed to for the song, you know.
And I'm still looking into, and I'm still trying to get a quote expert to email me back, but I'm still looking into the whole, does his mimicry come from his ability with languages, or does his ability with languages come from his mimicry, or do the two have nothing in common at all?
Right.
So I'm still looking into that one, guys. But the psychologist says no. But I've got some emails into some language experts to see if they have anything to say on the subject. But apparently they don't have much to say because they won't answer me. but this is this is also where it's next episode where the travel box, I can't remember what it's called. The little
travel
thing she
box.
Uses to jump in and out of time and
oh,
space.
Oh, yeah, I know what you're talking about.
That thing gets
damaged. Yeah.
It's dead right now. It needs to be recharged, and Loki takes it, puts it in his friggin' pocket of holding, and... You know, disaster strikes.
Right. Yeah, this is slightly off, but that just reminds me. For folks who really like the Loki series and you're like, well, what can I watch until, you know, second season? I've been watching The Umbrella Academy on Netflix, which is another superhero show. And there is an organization in it. I think they're just called The Commission.
This is the one that basically acts as the TVA.
Yes, yeah, the commission, I was going to say, and the TVA are extremely similar. So much so that when I was watching it with my son, at one point I asked him, I said, so are Loki and Mobius going to like wander by in the background at some point?
Yeah, I know!
So, you know, I would recommend if anybody out there is, you know, interested, it's something I would definitely recommend you check out.
Definitely. And I have seen, I've not watched the whole series. I have seen bits and pieces of it.
Mm-hmm.
And it's definitely worth watching from what I've seen of it.
Yeah, there's only two seasons out right now, but the third season comes out, I think, in June.
So. Oh, okay, so not a long wait at all. But yeah, this is basic. This episode is basically just one of the catalyst slash turning points of the various twists and turns that make up the entire episode, or the entire series.
Right.
Because, boy, I tell you what, if you map this thing out, there'd be so many dog legs. It's incredible. But yeah, the meeting of Sylvie and the loss of the travel doohickey is pretty much the basis of this particular episode.
Yeah, I like the travel doohickey.
Yeah, I cannot remember what it's called.
Yeah, I can't either. I can't either.
And since I'm talking to you on the phone, I can't look it up either. So,
yeah. Well, all right. So you want me to? All right, I can look it up.
Okay, you look it up.
All right. So you feel the air with your talking.
Uh huh. Yeah. I hate it when you do that. Oh my god.
Yeah, and now it's like completely silent.
I do it to you all the time, I know. This is why we have an editor, which, guys, we've had a lot of storms in the area. We've had some problems with the internet. We've had some issues. Our editor slash my daughter has had some issues with being able to get a hold of the podcast, being able to work with it, and getting it back to us. So far, we have not been able to handle the editing situation. We are working on it. And hopefully, once the last of these spring storms blow through, we'll be able to do a little bit more with that. That being said, I have been on vacation, and I'm so sorry. I've been lazy. I have not been updating the blog. I have not. I don't think I've even opened the computer more than twice since I've been on vacation. And so I do apologize for that. We are gonna get better with it, I promise. So I will try my best to get something done with it tonight. And then hopefully, possibly tomorrow afternoon, maybe Thursday, we'll see about getting some more down. And especially at the end of the day, after we see Johnny's, the rest of his testimony.
Mm-hmm.
In court, we'll see about getting some stuff posted, but we are working on it.
So she has a Tempad.
Tempad, that's it.
Yeah, and it allows her to open up time doors and you use time cells and stuff.
Right.
So, and then she also has something called a time stick, but that's not what we were talking about.
Wait, isn't that what they use to like disintegrate people?
So the time stick is what she uses against the Minutemen squad in the Renaissance Fair tent. And she later uses it again against the Minutemen during her attack on the TVA office.
Yeah, that's the same thing that they use to send whoever or whatever to the end of time, right?
I don't think so, because it's something that the TVA Minutemen use. It looks like a baton, and I think it like freezes people and stuff.
Ah, okay.
But
all yet, right.
The Tempad is what opens up the doorways through time.
Yeah, I know that. I'm not talking about that. I'm talking about when you think they're killing people.
Yeah, I think
they're sending them to the end of time.
Yeah, I think that is the time stick. You're right.
Okay.
Yeah.
Yeah, that's what I thought. But yeah, that's kind of cool. And of course, we'll get into it when we get to the last episode. But it's just heartbreaking. At the very end of the last episode,
yeah,
when Loki approaches Mobius, and Mobius doesn't know him,
yeah,
and that's really just devastating.
Yeah, especially after it's rare for Loki to say he has friends, and he had already kind of said you're my friend,
right, and to actually admit and show that he cares about someone.
Right.
And then for that person to be just unceremoniously taken away from him is that this is why he's the way he is, guys. Come on. We all know this. This is why Loki is Loki and why he chooses not to care.
Yeah. Definitely.
Absolutely. We feel you, man. We know how it is. So, where are we at for time?
We are hitting the almost the 40-minute mark. We're like 36 minutes.
Okay. Is there anything else you'd like to say? Now, you said this was your favorite episode. Mm-hmm. Why is that?
So, later on, they kind of lose some of the things I was hoping to see in the series, which was basically, I wanted to see Doctor Who with Loki. And I wanted to see him, like, bouncing around through time and doing, you know, kind of some nice swashbuckling. And I wanted it to be kind of tongue-in-cheek adventure and stuff. And later on, it gets, you know, kind of wonky and serious at times and that kind of thing. So in this one, they have a little bit of what I was hoping to see from the series, and there's still the potential for more of that, and they haven't gone askew yet. And it's not to say I don't like the later stuff, because like when they bring in the other Lokis, especially like the Silver Age Loki and the Alligator Loki. Huh?
Alligator Loki!
Yeah, and the Alligator Loki. I mean, I love those. But it's still, it's just different than what I was expecting and initially hoping for, you know. So this one, though, I really like the relationship between him and Mobius. I love when Loki's the one who figures out where the variant is hiding. Yeah. And they go.
I was going to just about to bring that up when you were done, was that Loki is smart. He is so far beyond genius. It gets him into trouble.
Right.
But the fact that it took him, they have been hunting for where this variant is hiding for how long? How long has she been attacking?
Quite a while. Yeah.
A while. And he goes in and in one afternoon.
Yeah.
Figures out where she's hiding. And it's not just that he figures out she's hiding in disaster spots. He figures out which one.
Yeah.
And, I mean, just that quick. It's great. I mean, it's just, it's awesome. It's really kind of sad the way he figures it out there.
Right.
As he pulls up. Because the TVA has all knowledge. Not just up until where he was. They have knowledge to the end of time, supposedly.
Right.
So even though for him, Ragnarok had not happened yet, he could still pull up the information on it. And when it, I mean, he looks at the list or the numbers and everything and how many died. And it's like 9,000 something.
Right.
Which, if you look at, God, that wouldn't even be a mid-sized town.
Yeah.
In the States here. You know, that would be, that'd be maybe a small to mid-sized town, maybe. But this is an entire populace, an entire race of people.
Yeah.
There were only about twice that. There were only about 18,000 people, and 9,000 of them died.
Yeah.
Just very sad. And of course, you see the tears in his eyes. Pardon me. Bravo, Tom. You know, he can cry on command. He also, his eyes water when he gets nervous or when he gets anxious. And he has stage fright. So the combination of the two makes it very easy for him to cry on command.
Right.
But yes, it's a very touching scene. It's really, you know, it's really sweet. However, he's looking, and it doesn't show it, but if you actually, you know, check the MCU and check the notes on this particular series, he's actually looking to see who died.
Mm-hmm.
But, of course, that information is not listed.
Right.
So he's basically checking to see if, you know, if Thor was still alive, if his, you know, if Odin was still alive. Frigga? Right. Of course, he already knows that Frigga has passed.
Right.
But the rest of them, you know, yeah, I mean, no matter how bad he despises them sometimes, they are still his family.
Yeah. Yeah. Yeah, and yeah, you're right. I mean, he definitely portrays the emotion that he's feeling very strongly there. And there's several times in this series where they're able to do that.
The thing about that is it's usually, and yes, we can see him because we're watching the damn TV, okay?
Right, right.
If you really look at it, he's alone.
Oh, yeah.
He can show those emotions and not, he doesn't feel like he has to guard so heavily because he is alone. Right. And he can put himself back together and dry his eyes and, you know, maintain when he holds his head up and sticks his chest out and walks out that door. But while he's alone, he can give in and accept the fact that he's feeling, you know, all of these painful emotions.
Right.
Yeah. Which, of course, you know, you do not see from Loki very often at all. You know, it's just that's not a Loki thing to do.
Right.
Yeah, the more that you, the more that he focuses on doing what they've asked of him, the more human he seems to become.
So. Yeah. Yeah. But yeah, this was I think a really good episode, and it's how many episodes were in season one? Six.
Six or seven.
Yeah,
it's six though.
I know it's not, you know, as long as some of the other shows have been.
Yeah, it was very, very short.
Yeah.
It was put out during the summer. Summer is when you have the shorter seasons.
Well, it's just like, you know, I mean, I've been loving, you know, Moon Knight, but it's going to be a six episode one as well. And
so it's going to be a really short one.
Yeah. And
however, oh, I'm sorry. Go ahead.
And, you know, Loki continues to be, I think, the only one that's been guaranteed a season two, because they've already announced that Hawkeye.
They cannot guarantee it.
Well, but they've announced it.
Tom was talking about when he actually made it a point to, you know, tell his fans how much he appreciated them and how much he enjoyed playing the Loki character, but that he would not be Loki forever.
Right.
He made it a very, very distinct point to say there might be someone else to come and pick up where I leave off.
Right.
So, you know, that he made, that might be what they're looking at. And I really hope not. Not yet. You know, we're not ready to let Tom go yet. Uh-uh. So I'm really hoping that he will be Loki in the season two. But if he's not, hey, they better find somebody damn good.
Yeah. Yeah.
I mean, like, the same with Johnny Depp and Grindelwald. They made a magnificent choice.
Yeah. They
found a brilliant actor.
Yeah.
And I think he's going to be amazing.
Yeah, everything I've heard.
We'll make sure that we let them know.
Yeah, everything I've heard says that he's the best part of the third film. But it did open with the least amount of money of any in the series. And so now there's no guarantee there's going to be a fourth or fifth Fantastic Beasts film. Yeah.
Okay, see, I had not heard.
Yeah, I mean, it opened number one at the box office last weekend, but it, quote-unquote, only like $40-something million, which is like $23 million less than the previous one.
And that's because Johnny wasn't in it. They ought to know.
And like $40 million less than the first one.
Man, how stupid are they? Really?
Yeah.
Sorry. But Johnny Depp equals huge fucking sales.
Yeah.
No, Johnny Depp equals, guess what? Sales.
Yeah.
But, you know, thing about it is, if you know, people would listen to me, you know, but they don't.
So. There you go.
Things would go a lot smoother. People would just shut the hell up and listen to me. Anyway, but
well, you know, everybody needs those, you know, WWJD bracelets. You know, what would Jennifer do? So.
No. My favorite is WWJDD.
All right. What would Johnny Depp do?
What would Johnny Depp do?
Gotcha.
I've seen t-shirts. I've seen bracelets. I frigging want one.
Yeah.
Simply because I live in the buckle of the Bible Belt. And I just love for some of these sanctimonious assholes to come up and tell me that my shirt was printed wrong.
Yeah.
And then I have to explain to them, no, it wasn't.
So next week is...
Oh, do you remember the question you asked me?
Oh, yeah.
Okay, I have an answer for you.
Yeah, so yeah, the question
and
was...
You can pretend like you don't know the answer, because
yeah,
I've already told you what it is.
But yeah, the question was, what role of Johnny's would you like to see
Hiddleston
Tom Hiddleston in, and vice versa?
Right. So, I actually thought about this long and hard. I really did. And even though we've got the, the vampire movie that Johnny did.
Are you talking Dark Shadows?
Yes, Dark Shadows. So he's already played a vampire. Okay, right. We know that. I would love to see him play Adam in Only Lovers Left Alive.
Okay, and that kind of makes sense with the music connection, too.
The whole music, the whole heartbreak and angst, the role was made for him.
Right.
And to be perfectly honest, I would absolutely love to see him play opposite Tilda Swinton. That is a combination I'm afraid would burn the fucking theaters down. It would be amazing.
Yeah.
Those two, I mean, she is as iconic as he is, and she makes a lot of the same type of choices as far as her career goes.
Right.
As Johnny does. You know, she didn't really hit mainstream until she hit the MCU.
Yeah.
True. Everything that she has done has been either bit parts, you know, less than the lead, or a bit odd, a bit different, kind of like Johnny's choices in his movie. So, yes, I would love to see those two play opposite each other. That would be incredible.
Nice. Okay.
God, now I've got to remember the death role for Hiddleston. Do you remember because I know I told you.
Yeah. I was trying to remember. It was, I think it was, well, no.
Oh, what was it? Oh, man. Oh, God, I'm not even about to ask you to go back through the messages because I know I messaged it to you.
Well, I'll give you my answers and maybe that will remind you.
Cool, I'm thinking. Yeah, go ahead.
All right, so I was thinking that for Tom, I would want to see him in the role of in Transcendence.
Okay, and I did think of it, so okay.
Oh, there you go. I just think that would be a good one. For him. But I tell you, the one that I'm more excited about, to be honest with you, would be to see Johnny Depp in Kong. And let me tell you why.
Let me tell you why. Fantastic.
I have always wanted to see Johnny in a pure action role. And I know there's pirates, there's action in that. You know, he was in like Once Upon a Time, a true
action hero type role is not one that he's done.
Yeah. I mean, I think honestly, if he gave me his career to run, I would find him a Keanu Reeves style John Wick.
See, there's the problem. You have to take his wishes into account.
Well, yeah, I'm just saying, I think he would kick ass in an action role. And I think that
he would go so far beyond Bruce Willis, it wouldn't even be funny.
Yeah, I mean, I think he could do a John Wick type thing, and it would be huge.
Absolutely,
you know?
I think you're 100% correct on that one.
And so I initially was going to put him in The Night Manager, and then I thought, you know what? I want to see him running around kicking ass in Kong, and to see him with Samuel L. Jackson. And Brie Larson.
Would be even better than Sam and John Travolta.
Yeah.
Because they'd make a hell of a duo.
That's true. But yeah, that's my picks.
Okay. So, it might not have been my previous choice. I cannot remember what my previous choice was. But I would love to see Tom Hiddleston I can't call the name of it, where he's the detective, they're investigating the Jack the Ripper.
Oh, From Hell.
Yeah, From Hell. That's it.
Yeah, okay, I could see that.
Love to see Hiddleston. And the only downside about that is it's something he's done before.
Mm-hmm.
Maybe not played the detective, but it's the same type of character as Crimson Peak.
Right.
The same era, the same style, if you will.
And I will say that is not your original choice.
Okay.
Your original choice was
my original choice. That would be nice.
Yeah, your original choice was Hollow Crown era Tom.
Right.
In The Astronaut's Wife.
Yes. Okay. That's even better.
Yeah. But I think Tom in Transcendence would be interesting. I think that would be an interesting role for him.
Well, the reason that I picked The Astronaut's Wife is that is one of the most sensual, bordering sexual roles that you've ever seen Johnny in. And, you know, Johnny's a brilliant actor. He's beautiful. He's incredibly, incredibly, you know, he draws people to him. He's amazing. But with Tom's appeal and with that accent, there's, oh God, some of the lines in The Astronaut's Wife, some of the lines in the movie.
Yeah.
Coming from Tom? Oh, yeah. There'd be ambulances sitting outside waiting to take the idiot swooners because we would not survive. Because I'm telling you, I mean, anyone who's seen The Astronaut's Wife knows what I'm talking about.
Right.
There's one scene where he actually, he plays, Charlize Theron plays opposite him.
Mm-hmm.
I believe. But he actually, they're at a party and he takes her sexually against a pillar, against a wall, right there at the fucking party.
Right.
It's insane. I mean, it's just, and like I said, some of the lines that come out of his mouth. Oh my God, yes. I would love to hear those lines in
Hiddleston's
voice.
Yeah, that'd be cool. All right, so we're about at the hour mark. So next week is back to Johnny.
Okay, next week is a Johnny Depp week, and I am not going to announce what we're doing because I'm not sure.
I was about to say, that means you don't know.
No. See, here's the thing. I've been wanting, and I've been trying to get for a while, some of our cosplayers to come on the show, talk about their experiences, what it's like to be Loki or Jack Sparrow or whatever. You know, that's one of the things that I have really been trying to do. Well, You know, fate is a fickle friend. One of my new acquaintances here, where I am vacationing, is buddies with the Gulf Coast's Captain Jack Sparrow.
Oh, nice.
He is the cosplayer for the entire area. I mean, he is known up and down the coast here. From Gulf Shores to Mobile to, I mean, just all the way around. He is known around here as Captain Jack Sparrow. So I am hoping she's going to try to get me aligned to him. And then we're going to see what we can do about maybe getting him on the show, getting him to tell a couple stories, talk about, you know, talk about what it's like and, you know, the difference between, you know, when he walks outside every day and when he walks outside as Captain Jack Sparrow. So I'm hoping to be able to do that, if not next week, maybe the week after, but, you know, the next Johnny Depp week after that. But I don't know, because right now everything's kind of up in the air. So that's why I say I'm not announcing, because we may be having a 100% guest star Captain Jack Sparrow interview day. So
nice. Okay.
But yeah, so guys, just keep watching, keep listening, go to the blog, which I will update, I promise. deadheadshiddlestoners.com. Or you can get to us through Barry's page at barryreese.net.
Yes.
You can also reach us at the email of deadheadsandhiddlestoners@yahoo.com. No punctuation, no capitals, no spaces. You can also find us. We've got a Facebook page. Or we've got a Facebook group. That's Deadheads and Hiddlestoners, of course. We've also got an Instagram page. Any kind of way you can think of, you could probably reach us. If you can't, let us know. We'll fix it.
Yeah, that's right.
Anything else? Let me see.
I think that is it.
All right, guys. Once again, and as always, stay safe. You know, take care. And we will, God is willing, see you next week.
Bye, guys.
Bye.